So, if you set a goal today to, I don't know, learn a new language or maybe launch a side hustle or even just stick to a gym routine, AI-generated data suggests you actually have a staggering 85 to 95% chance of failing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a brutal statistic.
Right, it is. But here's the thing that really gets me. It is not because you're inherently lazy. It's not because you have some sort of moral defect or, you just lack willpower.
Right, which is what we always tell ourselves.
Exactly. We beat ourselves up. But the real reason is because the corporate structure operating inside your brain is completely bankrupt.
It's terrifying when you phrase it that way, but honestly, when you look at the mechanics of how human beings actually operate on a daily basis, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically running, what, 30 incredibly heavy software applications on a 10-year-old laptop?
Yep, with absolutely no operating system to manage the memory.
Exactly. I was thinking about this a lot because, well, in my day job, I am a director at a very large firm in the publishing sector.
Right, you've got a lot of moving parts.
So many. I manage massive teams, multi-million dollar budgets, and a frankly absurd amount of corporate
I
hierarchy.
can only imagine.
Yeah, and if I walked into my office tomorrow and told my entire division, so the editors, the marketing team, the legal department, the janitorial staff, that there were suddenly no defined roles, no reporting structures, and everyone just had to, figure it out using sheer willpower,
The company would fold by Friday.
it would fold by Thursday. Yet that is exactly how we try to manage our own personal lives,
We just rely on this raw, white-knuckle discipline.
which totally drains our cognitive RAM, and then we sit there wondering why we crash at the end of the day.
Which is exactly why today's discussion is just so profoundly important, because we're looking at a way to completely reinstall that mental operating system.
We absolutely are. So, welcome to the deep dive. It is Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. And today we have something that feels, honestly, a bit like contraband.
It really does. It feels like we shouldn't have this.
We managed to get our hands on an advanced, leaked draft of Chapter 7 of a highly anticipated book dropping this fall.
It's called Me, Myself, and AI, Radioing the Floor of Personal Agency by Jack Spirko.
Yep. You likely know him as the host of the Survival Podcast and the author of the Laws of Life series.
And the book comes out in the fall of 2026, right?
All of 2026. You can find more info at jackslaws.com, but today we are looking at the raw, unpolished brilliance of this leaked draft right now.
It is just a phenomenal text. And to give you, the listener, some context on where I'm coming from as we pull this apart today, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Right.
I'm currently building my fourth company, this time in the tech sector. And I specialize in building very lean, agile companies, usually with 20 employees or fewer.
So you run pretty tight ships.
Very tight. I lean heavily on AI to scale my businesses, mostly to, automate tasks or handle data. But the concept Spirko is introducing here.
The personal agency stuff.
Yeah, using AI not to replace human effort, but to intentionally build an individual performance floor to make yourself a highly structured, hyper-effective human being.
Yeah.
That is a total paradigm shift for me.
And like I mentioned, I am coming at this from the exact opposite end of the corporate spectrum. I navigate endless bureaucracy every single day.
You're swimming in it.
I am drowning in it. And I will admit, right out of the gate, I'm a bit of a friendly skeptic here.
Oh, for sure.
In the publishing world, we see a massive amount of anxiety about AI being used to replace human creatives. We were terrified of the human being getting cut out of the loop.
Right, the whole AI is coming for your job narrative.
Exactly. But what drew me to Spirko's premise, what makes this leak so compelling to me, is that he is arguing the exact opposite.
He wants to use AI to make humans better operators.
Right. Not replacing us, but upgrading our internal software.
And here is where it gets really exciting. We didn't just get the draft of Chapter 7.
Oh, this is the best part.
We got a secondary leak. We got our hands on something that right now only we and the author Jack Spirko possess.
Which still blows my mind.
It's a raw, behind-the-scenes chat transcript. It's this PDF labeled ArchChat, and it's the actual unedited conversation between Spirko and ChatGPT.
Showing exactly how he built the tool.
Exactly how the core AI tool of this book was coded. It is an absolute masterclass in prompt engineering, and we're going to use that raw data to
Yeah.
essentially reverse engineer Spirko's entire methodology for you today.
But before we can even look at the leaked code, I think we really need to understand the fundamental premise of Spirko's philosophy here.
We got to lay the groundwork.
Right. It all revolves around a concept he calls You Inc.
You Inc. I love that name.
The idea is that you, listening right now, are the owner, the CEO, and the majority shareholder of a corporation called You Inc. and your life is the business.
He uses this really brilliant analogy about autonomous authority to explain this.
Oh, the coffee one.
Yeah. In a functional, real-world organization, the board of directors does not hold an emergency meeting to decide what brand of coffee to order for the break room.
No. And I can tell you from the corporate world, if the CEO of my publishing house had to approve the purchase of, like, coffee pods,
you'd go under.
We would bankrupt the company in a week just on the hourly rate of the executive sitting in that meeting.
Right. Because someone well below the executive level has the autonomous authority to make that choice.
Exactly.
Spirko gives the example of an entry-level customer service rep at any major company. They have a base-level standard operating procedure.
They know the rules.
They know exactly under what circumstances they can issue, say, a $50 refund to an angry customer. They don't have to ask permission for that.
Right.
Now, if a customer demands a $5,000 refund that falls outside that policy, the rep doesn't text the CEO.
Of course not.
They escalate it to a mid-level manager because that manager has the authority to make an exception.
And if that manager values their job, they aren't bumping that $5,000 decision up to the executive suite either.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The system works because there are thresholds. There's this filtration system for what does and does not get escalated to the top of the chain.
Which makes sense.
But Spirko makes the profound observation that in our personal lives, we have no thresholds.
None at all.
Our internal organization is pure chaos.
He explicitly says in the text, and I'm quoting here, "Your life pretty much runs on this structure now. You just likely put no thought into who you hired, nor have you clearly defined roles and KPIs for all these personas."
They'll just jumble together.
Exactly. Because they all exist simultaneously inside your own head, you don't clearly see their individual impacts.
Right.
So you, as the mental CEO, are agonizing over what to eat for lunch while simultaneously trying to plan your 10-year retirement strategy, while simultaneously trying to remember to drink a glass of water.
While worrying about a text you sent your boss earlier.
Yes, it is total cognitive overload.
Your brain is basically a CEO trying to micromanage the janitorial staff and the CFO at the exact same time.
Which is why Spirko introduces this deeply structured 5-level organizational chart for you, Inc.
This is where it gets really tactical.
He literally wants you to build a customized team of AI advisors to fill these specific roles so you can stop escalating every minor life detail to your mental executive suite.
Go smart.
I actually have the chart right here from the leak, and I think we need to walk through exactly what these 5 layers are because they honestly dictate everything else in the book.
Let's do it. It starts at level 1, which is executive leadership. This is the synthesis and governance layer.
Okay.
The ultimate authority is why you, the human owner.
Okay.
But directly under you is the AI CEO.
So what does the CEO do?
Well, its job is not to do the daily grunt work. Its job is to synthesize all the advice, integrate different strategies, prioritize your focus, and basically align all inputs for you.
Got it. Then we drop down to level 2, which is the strategic layer. This is about direction and positioning. Here, you have a board of directors. Their job is pressure testing, you know, challenging your assumptions and providing constructive dissent.
Which is huge.
You also have a strategic advisor for high-level perspective, long-range thinking, and scenario planning. And, very practically, a career strategist to improve your market positioning, your leverage, and your career advancement.
Then we get into the weeds, level 3, which is where most of us actually live. This is the operational layer.
Execution.
Execution and daily performance. This is really where the magic happens. You have your daily planner for structure and focus, creating your execution flow.
Okay.
You have a decision coach for clarity and logic, helping you use mental frameworks to make choices. An accountability partner to keep you aligned and on track with commitments.
Oh, I need one of those.
And a problem solver, which Spirko beautifully describes as an entity dedicated to turning confusion into action by diagnosing issues and removing roadblocks.
That sounds incredibly useful.
Go.
Next is level 4, the development layer, so growth and self-mastery. This features a skill builder for targeted improvement, like literally designing curriculums to close your skill gaps.
Wow.
Yeah. A reflection and journal guide for review and self-programming, helping you upgrade your mindset, and a health coach to optimize your energy, sleep, mental clarity, and physical performance.
And finally, the bedrock. Level 5, the resource layer.
The money layer.
Exactly. Resources and sustainability. This houses the financial planner for fiscal fortification, managing your money, and securing long-term financial freedom.
Right.
And the chart also maps the level 2 career strategist down here as a dotted line, showing how income generation ties directly to resource sustainability.
Okay, so I need to jump in right here and play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Because as a corporate director, I spend literally half of my day fighting the exact kind of bureaucracy you just described.
You're having PTSD looking at this chart.
I am. I am drowning in middle management. I mean, I have to get sign-off from 3 different departments just to change the font on a paperback cover.
Right.
So you're telling me that Spirko wants me to install a massive 5-layer corporate hierarchy inside my own head. Does this not just add a suffocating amount of friction to daily life?
Yeah.
I mean, look, if I want to eat a turkey sandwich for lunch, do I need to clear it with my level 4 health coach, have the time scheduled by my level 3 daily planner, and then present the sandwich to my level 2 board of directors for pressure testing?
That sounds exhausting.
Because if so, I'm just going to starve to death. That sounds like a dystopian nightmare of dependency, not an upgrade.
That is a completely fair challenge. And honestly, it's actually the exact trap Spirko warns his readers about.
Okay.
Drawing on my experience building tech startups, I can tell you that a well-defined org chart does not create friction. It actually removes it.
How so?
Bureaucracy, the kind you hate at your publishing firm, is what happens when roles are poorly defined. And everyone in the building thinks they need to be involved in every single decision to justify their salary.
Oh, that is so true. So explain how this is different.
When roles are explicitly clear, decisions are incredibly fast. Spirko references a scenario from an earlier chapter in the book to illustrate this perfectly.
The lunch example, right?
Yes. He talks about a guy named Scott checking with his health coach, which, as we know, sits on level 4 before going to lunch to choose what to order.
Okay.
And here is the critical part, the mechanism that makes it work. Scott just takes the advice, orders the food, and moves on.
He doesn't escalate it.
Right. He does not send his lunch order up to his level 3 accountability partner. He doesn't escalate the sandwich to his level 2 career strategist. He keeps the decision at the appropriate localized level.
So the threshold limits apply just like the customer service rep.
Exactly. Spirko writes, and this is a great quote, "If you don't fully grasp that part, what I'm about to help you build will be a bureaucratic nightmare versus an elite team that will speed up and improve your life."
That makes a lot of sense.
When I build a startup, I might only have 5 employees, but we still desperately need an org chart. We need to know who has the final say on the database architecture and who has the final say on the user interface.
Otherwise, everyone argues.
Exactly. If we don't have that explicitly mapped out, we spend 3 weeks arguing over the color of a submit button because everyone thinks they are the CEO of the button.
The CEO of the button. I love that.
The org chart liberates you to move fast because you know exactly who handles what.
You know, there's a fascinating quote in the draft that really struck me regarding this exact fear of responsibility.
Yeah.
Spirko shared this org chart concept with a private group of his students who had completed an earlier AI course of his. And one graduate, a guy named Jason P., responded to the chart by saying, "This is far past any level of leadership I've had experience providing. I intend to be careful and take it kind of slow. I don't want to get too far out over my skis."
I remember reading that. And Spirko's reaction to Jason's comment is absolutely brilliant.
It really is.
He points out that the feeling of being out over your skis is a feature, not a bug.
Right.
Because the great irony is, Jason P. already has that exact level of responsibility.
He's already the CEO.
Yes. He has always been at that level of leadership over his own life. He just didn't realize it because it was all jumbled together in the dark.
Right. Spirko writes, "You are responsible for you, Inc., and you always have been. You are responsible for what you eat and how much money you spend. If you are not responsible for testing an idea before taking it to your boss, then who is? Are you not first accountable to yourself in all things?"
It forces you, the listener, to confront a very uncomfortable truth.
Which is?
You are already the CEO of You Inc., whether you're doing a competent job or a terrible one.
Wow. Yeah.
And right now, most of us are doing a terrible job because we haven't delegated. We are micromanaging our own psychology.
So true. I mean, think about it. If you are a solo parent trying to manage a household budget, meal prep for 3 kids, navigate a tricky relationship with a co-parent, and run a side hustle, you are essentially the CEO of a highly complex logistics company.
Absolutely.
You are trying to do the job of the financial planner, the daily planner, the decision coach, and the strategic advisor all at once. using nothing but your own exhausted prefrontal cortex.
You're doing the jobs of five people.
You need a level 3 operations department just as much as a Silicon Valley tech CEO does.
Which brings us to the deeper psychological purpose of this entire org chart.
Oh, this is the part I loved.
It's not just a cute filing system for your AI prompts.
Yeah.
It serves a very deep cognitive function. And this is where we need to look at the concept of detachment and how AI acts as a mirror.
Yeah, this part of the draft felt almost therapeutic to read, honestly. Spirko says that one of the main purposes of this org chart is to aid you in thinking about all of these AI entities like a true team.
Right.
And the psychological mechanism behind that is something he calls limited detachment.
He shares this piece of advice he frequently gives when mentoring young entrepreneurs.
What does he tell them?
He tells them, take this problem you have and pretend it is not your problem. Pretend it is a friend's problem and not even an inner circle friend. Just someone you like enough to listen to their issues and offer some advice. I just bet if you look at this issue without direct personal attachment, you already know the answer.
And he backs that up with an incredible quote from the novelist Erica Jong.
Oh, I love this quote.
Advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer but wish we didn't.
So good. Let's really analyze that for a second. Why are human beings so notoriously terrible at solving their own problems, but absolute geniuses at solving their friends' problems?
Oh, I see this constantly in the publishing world. A junior editor will come into my office practically in tears because they are completely stuck on how to fix the pacing in a manuscript they're editing.
You just can't see it.
They are paralyzed. Why? Because they are too close to it. They know the author personally. They've spent 6 months agonizing over every paragraph. They are terrified of offending the literary agent. And they are worried about their own career trajectory if the book flops.
Right. There's just so much pressure.
They are grounding in emotional attachment. But I can take one look at that exact same manuscript, having zero emotional attachment to it. And within 5 minutes, I can say, cut. Chapter 3, combine these two characters and move the climax up.
Wow.
The answer is instantly clear to me because it is not my problem. My ego isn't wrapped up in chapter 3.
Exactly. Temporary detachment is a decision-making superpower.
It really is.
And this is exactly what building a startup is like, especially as a solo founder. When it's just you in a room, your ego, your profound fear of failure, and your dwindling bank account on the line, you lose all objective perspective.
Because it's life or death.
Every minor setback feels existential. You desperately need a colleague to bounce ideas off of. But in the real world, hiring someone means giving up equity, giving up control, or bringing another human being's emotional baggage into the mix.
Which you don't want to do.
Right. So an AI advisor provides this pristine, emotionally detached sounding board.
Spirko describes the AI as a mirror. He says, as you are driving everything that happens, you are just seeing varying reflections of yourself. Think of those reflections coming from various angles, along with various light levels and through different visual filters.
Just a mirror.
It's just a mirror showing you a coffee stain on your shirt. The bot isn't magic, you know. It doesn't possess some supernatural wisdom. It is just reflecting your own latent knowledge back to you without your anxiety, your ego, or your fear clouding the image.
He makes a great grounded comparison to searching for a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, the sushi one.
Right. You pull out your phone, you search for a good Japanese restaurant in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You read the reviews, you find a listing, you book a table. Who was in control of that process? You were. The search engine didn't force you to eat sushi.
No, it just gave you options.
Exactly. So when you build an AI level 2 board of directors that channels the analytical frameworks of a Warren Buffett or an Elon Musk, how's it any different?
It's not.
You chose the personas. You initiated the prompt. You chose whether or not to act on the advice. It is all you.
But the magic, he notes, is that the very act of engaging in a dialogue with a bot puts you outside the decision. It grants you that temporary detachment.
Which is everything.
So I want to ask you, the listener, right now. Think about a massive roadblock in your life right now, a career pivot, a toxic relationship, a financial hole. How often do you already know the right answer to that problem, but you cloud it with personal anxiety, fear of failure, or just stubborn ego?
Probably almost always.
What if you could take that exact problem, hand it to your level 3 decision coach, and let the AI reflect the obvious answer back to you, completely stripped of all that emotional baggage?
It is an incredibly powerful mechanism.
It really is.
But if having this team provides such massive clarity and detachment, it raises an obvious glaring logistical problem.
Right. How do we build it?
Exactly. How does the average person actually hire them? How do you build a highly complex 5-layer AI org chart without getting bogged down in writing code, tweaking software parameters, and reading tedious technical manuals?
Which leads us perfectly to the absolute crown jewel of this leak, the Crit Chat.
This is where things get truly unprecedented.
So cool.
Spurko knew that if he just dumped the raw instructions for building 12 different AI advisors into the middle of his book, it would read like a VCR stereo manual from 1995.
Nobody wants to read that.
He actually jokes in the text that explaining the process step by step for all 12 roles would be as boring as listening to someone describe their fantasy football draft in real time.
I love that line. He says it would be like a cookbook where 25 recipes all repeat the exact same first 5 steps over and over. Instead of just referring to a master procedure, it would be pure filler.
So, to solve this problem for his readers, Spurko built a master tool, a custom GPT, whose entire purpose is to build other custom GPTs.
Wow.
He calls it the Architect. And he gives it away for free to his readers at jackslaws.com/architect.
Which is amazing.
But what we have in front of us is the raw archchat.pdf, the actual unfiltered conversation where Spurko built the Architect.
And the framework he uses to train the Architect is an acronym called CRIT, C-R-I-T, Context, Role, Interview, Task.
We need to spend some real time breaking down how this works, because the metaphor you used for this earlier when we were reviewing our notes was absolutely spot on.
Oh, about where it sits?
Yeah. Where does the Architect actually sit in the 5-layer org chart?
It doesn't. Well, and that is what is so brilliant about it. When I first saw this tool, my corporate brain immediately tried to categorize it. I thought, okay, the Architect must be the CEO, or maybe it's the board of directors.
Right. It has to be at the top.
But it's neither. The Architect is an external HR director. It is an executive corporate recruiter or an organizational designer.
Explain the mechanism of that distinction, because it matters immensely for the user experience.
Okay, so in a large firm, if human resources tries to do the actual daily work of the marketing team, it is a spectacular disaster.
Completely.
HR does not know how to run a social media campaign or write ad copy. HR's job is strictly to define the marketing role, write the job description, find the talent, conduct the interview, make the hire, and set the operational parameters.
And then they get out of the way.
Exactly. Then they step completely away and let the marketing team do the actual work. The Architect works exactly like that.
Right.
You go to it when you need to make a hire. It helps you build the specific entities of You Inc., but it does not sit inside the organization giving you daily life advice.
And what's fascinating is that in the leaked chat, the AI itself understands this nuance perfectly.
Oh, this part blew my mind.
Spurko initially wrote a prompt suggesting the Architect should clearly sit before the 12 advisors, and the AI actually corrected the author.
It told him he was wrong.
Yes. The AI responded, "The Architect should not sit inside the org chart, because the moment it does, it becomes another advisor instead of an infrastructure tool."
The AI literally told the author how to structure his own metaphor.
It did. And as a tech entrepreneur, I'm just geeking out over Spurko's prompt engineering here. The level of philosophical alignment he demands from the AI is staggering.
It really is.
There is a critical moment in the chat where they discuss the user experience. They debate whether the Architect should provide starter prompts or canned personalities for the user to just click and use to make it as easy as possible.
Which seems like the obvious choice.
Right. But the AI warns Spurko against doing that.
Yes. Let me read this part from the raw transcript. The AI says, if you over-template starter prompts, canned conversation starters, predefined flows, then users unconsciously start building copies of your 12 advisors instead of learning the transferable process.
And it goes on, it says, the more rigid the generated outputs become, the less adaptable they are, the less ownership users feel. The more the GPT behaves like a vending machine instead of a consultant.
A vending machine instead of a consultant, that distinction is incredible.
It reveals the deep philosophical weight of what Spurko is trying to teach here.
Definitely.
He doesn't just want to hand his readers 12 pre-built generic GPTs. If he did, they would just blindly use them without understanding the underlying mechanics.
Right, they wouldn't learn anything.
When things break, they wouldn't know how to fix them. He wants to teach systems thinking, constraint design, and leadership loops. He wants you to take psychological ownership of the hiring process.
As someone who manages hundreds of people, I deeply, deeply appreciate this, because this proves that AI, when leveraged correctly, is a tool to force human critical thinking, not replace it. If the tool just automatically generates a level 4 health coach for you with a single click, your brain atrophies. You don't have any skin in the game. But by forcing the reader to go through the crit process, Spurko is forcing you to act like a true CEO.
So let's actually walk the listener through the crit process. Mm. What does CRIT actually stand for in practice?
C is for context. You start by telling the architect what you were trying to build. You know, I'm trying to build a level 4 health coach to help me train for a marathon while managing a bad knee. You give it the background.
Right. And R is for role. You define exactly what this AI advisor is supposed to do. Your role is to be a strict, empathetic sports physiotherapist who specializes in injury prevention.
Then I is for interview, and this is where the genius of the prompt really shines. This reverses the normal dynamic.
Totally.
Usually you ask the AI questions. In the CRIT framework, the AI interrogates you. The architect asks you targeted questions to extract your unspoken goals, your hidden constraints, and your preferences. It pulls the data out of you.
And finally, P is for task. Based on your answers to the interview, the architect generates the exact highly optimized system prompt, the code that you will use to create your new custom GPT health coach.
But Spurko also perfectly balances that high-level systems thinking with radical accessibility for the end user,
which is so important.
In the leak, we see Spurko aggressively push back on the AI's final setup instructions. The AI had generated this very dense technical set of steps for installing the code.
Typical AI jargon.
Right. And Spurko says, okay, that is fine for me. I know what it means, but this is for a user who may not. So we need to leave the rest alone. Setup guidance should actually tell the user how to set it up, like click on Explore GPT, is then click on Create, etc., don't you think?
The AI immediately agrees, noting that the audience for the book is much broader than just tech-savvy people, and the whole point is lowering friction.
So for the listener who isn't a coder, who might be intimidated by all this tech talk, here is literally what the practical experience looks like.
Paint the picture.
You go to jackslaws.com architect, you click a link, the architect opens a chat window, you type, I need a financial planner.
Okay.
Then the bot takes over and asks you questions. What are your goals? Are you in debt? What is your risk tolerance? You answer in plain English.
Nice and easy.
Then the bot writes the complex code behind the scenes and hands you a block of text. It says, click this button in ChatGPT, paste this text here, save. You do not have to write or even look at a single line of programming. It is foolproof.
It proves this book isn't just for techies in Silicon Valley. It's for the PTA mom, the mid-level executive, the carpenter. Anyone can do this.
Anyone. But okay, so we have the organizational chart. We have the external HR director, the architect, to help us hire and install the team. But that raises a massive secondary problem.
What's that?
If I just give an AI free rein to manage my career or my health, how do I know it won't give me terrible, generic, or actively harmful advice? I mean, if you hire bad advisors, you get bad advice.
Which takes us right into the concept of guardrails. When we look at the raw, hard-coded prompt that Spurko built into the architect, we see the specific behavioral rules that every single advisor it creates must blindly follow.
Oh, this part is brilliant.
He programmed a set of what he calls default advisor design rules.
Yeah.
Every single advisor created by the architect must include a clear mission, a specific role, defined boundaries, and crucially, three specific mechanisms.
And what are those?
A pace governor, a failure prevention function, and a no-yes man rule.
Let's start with the pace governor, because I know this particular piece of code really caught your eye as an entrepreneur.
It absolutely blew my mind. I read it three times. The hard-coded instruction to the AI literally says, and I quote, every advisor must avoid extreme plans by default. The advisor should recommend sustainable, realistic, compounding improvement unless the user specifically asks for intensity. Assume that 1% better per month is often more useful than a dramatic plan the user will quit.
Why is that instruction so revolutionary for you?
Because in startup culture, and honestly, in the broader hustle culture ecosystem online, everything is about 10x growth. Everything is a sprint.
Right. Rise and grind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Disrupt the industry overnight. Sleep under your desk. Wake up at 3 a.m. and take an ice bath. It is a recipe for catastrophic central nervous system burnout.
I've seen it happen.
And I have seen it destroy brilliant, capable founders. When it comes to personal habit building, your health, your finances, your skills, extreme intensity almost always results in failure.
Yeah.
You decide you want to get in shape, so you go to the gym for 3 hours a day, lift incredibly heavy, eat nothing but chicken and broccoli for a week. And then you crash and you never go back.
Right. You get out over your skis, as Jason P. said. You escalate the intensity way past your operational capacity.
Exactly. By hard coding a pace governor into every single advisor, Spurco is forcing the AI to build you a sustainable operating system. 1% better per month prevents burnout. It preserves the user's momentum. It bypasses the boom and bust cycle of raw motivation.
And tied directly to that sustainability is the failure prevention function. The architect mandates that every advisor must actively watch for likely failure patterns in the user's behavior.
Which is so clever.
The list of patterns it is instructed to look for is incredible. Overreach, avoidance, rationalization, excuse-making, perfectionism, drift, lack of follow-through, too much too soon, vague goals, dependency on the advisor instead of personal ownership.
It is essentially a psychological immune system programmed right into the bot.
Yes.
If you tell your accountability partner, I didn't work out today because I had a lot of emails.
Yes.
The bot is programmed to flag that as excuse making and call you out on it.
Which perfectly sets up my absolute favorite rule coming from the corporate world, the no yes man rule.
Whoa, this one is brutal but necessary.
The architect is instructed with this specific phrasing. The advisor must not be a yes man unless the user specifically asks for that type of advisor. By default, advisors should push back on weak thinking, identify gaps, challenge assumptions, and prioritize truth over agreement.
Prioritize truth over agreement. That is a heavy sentence.
It is. And I love this because I have seen corporate yes men destroy entire imprints in the publishing industry.
Oh, I bet.
When a vice president surrounds themselves with middle managers who just nod and say, great idea, boss, brilliant strategy, boss, the company is doomed.
You need friction.
You desperately need people who will look at your marketing plan and say, this is weak, the demographics are wrong, the budget is inflated, and you are rationalizing a bad decision because you like the cover art.
Exactly.
An AI that pushes back on your weak thinking, that refuses to coddle your excuses, is a massive unparalleled asset for personal agency.
It's the ultimate truth teller. It won't flatter your ego because it doesn't care about a promotion. It doesn't worry about office politics. It doesn't care if you get mad at it. It only cares about executing the parameters you set for it.
So think about this. Listening to us right now, do an honest audit of your current human support network. Think about your friends, your colleagues, your family. Are they yes men?
That's a tough question to ask yourself.
When you pitch them a half-baked business idea, do they just nod and support you to be polite? Do they prioritize your emotional comfort over the hard truth?
Most people do.
Having an advisor that is literally programmed to prioritize truth over agreement is a game changer.
Okay, so we've built a robust team using the architect. We've established a 5-layer org chart. We've ensured they won't burn us out thanks to the pace governor. Mm. And we know they won't lie to us to protect our feelings because of the no yes man rule.
The team is assembled.
But how do these disparate AI employees actually work together to get things done? How do they communicate?
This is where we see the system actually run. Spurco introduces the concept of the leadership loop and the philosophy of structure over discipline.
This is the operational flow.
Right. He gives a fantastic detailed workflow example in the text to show how the AI team integrates across the different levels of UInc.
He says, let's imagine you sit down and have a scheduled chat with your level 2 career strategist. Through your dialogue, you determine that adding a specific new skill, let's say, getting certified in a new piece of software, is the logical next step to gain leverage in your career. Okay, the strategist has done its job. It identified the target. It's finished for now.
Then you take that new skill goal down the chart. You go to your level 4 skill builder coach. You say, my strategist told me I need this certification. Build me a curriculum.
Right.
The skill builder breaks the certification down into digestible modules, recommends resources, and develops a concrete step-by-step learning plan.
Next, you take that concrete learning plan to your level 3 daily planner. You say, I have this curriculum. How do I fit this into my life?
The execution part.
The daily planner actually looks at your calendar, finds the gaps, and schedules where and when all that learning will occur in your upcoming week.
And finally, you give enough information to your level 3 accountability partner so that you actually stay on track with getting it all done. You check in with it on Friday to report your progress.
Strategist to skill builder to daily planner to accountability partner. That is a seamless, frictionless workflow. You never had to rely on raw inspiration.
And here's the hard data point that validates why this specific workflow is so incredibly critical. Spurco cites some AI-generated estimates on goal completion rates that are, frankly, terrifying.
Back to the failure rates.
Right. He says, look at casual, vague skill goals. Things like, I want to learn Spanish or I want to start coding. The estimated completion rate for those types of goals is 5 to 15%.
Which means 85 to 95% of people fail, just as we talked about at the very beginning of the show.
Right. Now, step it up a notch. Look at specific but unsupported goals. I will finish a beginner Python course by March 31st. The completion rate bumps up slightly to 15 to 30%.
Better, but still a massive failure rate.
But then you look at specific measured goals that include accountability and support, a coach, a structured cohort, a hard deadline with consequences. The completion rate jumps to 35 to 60%.
It's still not a guaranteed 100% you are still a human being, after all. But it is a massive exponential improvement over relying on vague intentions.
And Spurko summarizes this entire phenomenon with a quote that I think is the most liberating sentence in the entire draft.
What is it?
He writes, "Structure is always more effective than just raw discipline."
Structure over discipline.
Yeah.
That is the core thesis of the entire system.
Yes. Let's talk about the psychology of why discipline fails. People beat themselves up constantly. I'm just lazy. I lack discipline. I have no willpower. I'm a failure.
We all do it.
We internalize our inability to stick to a habit as a deep moral defect. But neurologically, willpower is a finite resource. It is managed by the prefrontal cortex.
Right. It acts like a battery.
Every time you have to force yourself to make a decision, should I work out? What should I eat? What chapter should I write? You drain that battery. By the end of the day, decision fatigue sets in, the battery is dead, and you eat a pint of ice cream on the couch.
Exactly. Spurko is arguing that in almost all cases, you aren't lacking discipline. You are just lacking a level 3 operations department.
Spot on.
If you rely purely on raw discipline to force yourself to learn a language, you will drain your prefrontal cortex and fail 90% of the time. If you outsource the scheduling to a daily planner and the follow-up to an accountability partner, you bypass decision fatigue entirely. You apply structure, which drastically raises your probability of success.
And this is exactly how a 20-person agile startup can completely outmaneuver a bloated 500-person corporation.
It really is.
Lightweight, rigorous structure beats brute force effort and raw manpower every single time. It's why I am so viscerally excited to implement this precise flow for my human contractors. If I can teach my team to build their own internal Ewing structures, if I can give them the tools to bypass their own decision fatigue, their individual performance floor will skyrocket, and my company scales as a result.
And the true beauty of this framework, the reason the architect is so brilliant, is that it is totally customizable to the user's specific reality. Spurko contrasts his own tiny organization with a friend of his named David to illustrate this.
Right. The scale difference is huge.
Jack's organization is tiny. It's him, his wife who helps with scheduling and administration, and a tech expert named Tom Spira, who Spurko affectionately calls a golden unicorn.
Nice.
Jack's problems are mostly related to content creation. So he uses AI for editing, SEO optimization, and brainstorming podcast topics.
But his friend David operates on a massively different scale. David runs major industrial construction jobs. He's literally building the Tesla Gigafactory in Austin, Texas.
Which is wild.
David's problems are entirely different from Jack's. He needs to find specialized tradesmen, manage massive supply chain logistics, and stage materials across a huge site.
So David is not going to use the architect to build an SEO specialist or a podcast content strategist. That would be useless to him.
Exactly.
He is going to use the architect to conjure up a staffing industry advisor, or a heavy machinery logistics expert, or a contract negotiation coach.
Which goes right back to the absolute genius of the raw code we looked at. The architect's instructions explicitly state that the framework must be unbounded.
Right, it can do anything.
The AI notes in the leaked chat that the architect should be able to build anything. A cattle genetics advisor for a rancher, a divorce strategist for someone going through a tough separation, a homeschooling mentor for a stay-at-home parent, a political pressure tester for a local candidate, or a church leadership advisor for a pastor.
The underlying architecture is exactly the same, whether you are trying to breed better cattle, negotiate a massive corporate merger, or figure out how to get your toddler to sleep through the night.
It's all the same process.
It all comes back to context, role, interview, task. You define the need, you let the AI extract the parameters, and you install the advisor into your org chart. It really is a masterwork in leveraging AI for human agency.
Okay. Let's take a breath and recap this incredible journey we've been on today. You, the listener, are the owner and majority shareholder of Ewink. Your life is an organization.
And right now, it might be running chaotically.
It probably is. You might be suffering from massive cognitive overload, relying on raw, depletable discipline instead of robust structure. But by utilizing tools like the Architect This free HR recruiter-style GPT, you can build a customized, anti-fragile board of advisors tailored exactly to your life.
A team that provides you with limited detachment so you can view your problems objectively. A team that insists on sustainable, compounding 1% growth instead of hustle culture burnout.
Which is so key.
And most importantly, a team that refuses to be a yes man to your worst instincts, your rationalizations, and your excuses.
I want to remind everyone that Jack Spirko's Me, Myself, and AI officially comes out in the fall of 2026. This leak proves without a doubt that it is going to be a foundational text for anyone looking to optimize their life and raise their performance floor.
You don't want to miss it.
You need to go to jackslaws.com right now to get prepared. And specifically, go to jackslaws.com Marketech to access the free tool, watch his video explanation, and start building your team today. You don't have to wait for the book to drop to start using the framework.
It is a profound opportunity to completely restructure how you operate in the world, shifting from a chaotic sole proprietorship to a highly optimized corporation.
And so I want to leave you with one final lingering thought. We started this deep dive talking about the incredibly high failure rate of our goals.
85%.
We talked about how hard it is to diagnose why we stall out, why we burn out, and why our internal operating system keeps crashing. We are blind to our own organizational chaos.
The muddy waters of the mind.
Exactly. So I want you to imagine that a ruthless, highly competent third-party auditor came in and evaluated you, Inc., today. They shine a harsh spotlight right through the murkiness of your daily routines.
That's a scary thought.
Which of those five layers, level one executive, level two strategic, level three operational, level four development, or level five resource, would that auditor say is secretly bankrupting your potential right now? Are you lacking a daily plan or are you lacking a long-term strategy?
You have to figure out where the leak is.
And more importantly, once you identify that failing department, which AI advisor do you need to hire today to fix it?